Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all tell the people them, no?
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get 'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, our parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We're featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Tell the people that, no?
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Welcome to God in the Midst, Get 'em Radio once again. And yes, this is your host, Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We adore you. We absolutely love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. And we praise you, Lord God, as we just think about your word that says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are. Kaye Basha, there you are in the midst. And we thank you, Lord God, for being in the midst today, right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for touching each and every person who's on the line right now, and those who will listen even in the future, Lord God. Touch as never before. Whatever's wrong, we thank you for making it right, Lord God. And whatever is right, we thank you for taking it, dedicating it, and setting it apart for your use and for your glory in each and every one of our households. In the name of Jesus, and even in our bodies, in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord God, and thank you, Lord, tonight for moving by your spirit. We just thank you even in advance. There's something that's going to be said tonight that's going to just ignite. Hallelujah. What's going to be said tonight will ignite. Hallelujah. What you have in the hearts of your people. in the name of Jesus. And we bless you for doing it even now. Hallelujah. Ignite, impart, Lord God. Do as only you can do. And we give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God, you know, for tonight. And here we are marching through the month of May. Glory to God. This is our the third part of our fourth part series with our very dear Pastor Shirley Bird, who's with us today. Glory to God. And she started off the beginning of this month, the first Thursday, and she told us her testimony, her overcoming testimony. Hallelujah. And all I can say to make a beautiful testimony short is to say God has brought her a mighty long way. Praise God. Amen. He's taken her through many dangers, toils, and snares. Hallelujah. Amen. And then on our second week, she was telling us about the ministry is involved in. Amen. She told us about the prison ministry and how part of that prison ministry is to spend a weekend at the prison and ministering to them for 3 days, staying in the prison for 12 hours each day, you know, ministering, eating with them. Hallelujah. It's one thing to go when I go to the prison is, you know, it's one day at a time. But, you know, I thank God that he's just given her other prison ministries. And so she's, it's just a blessing. You got to go back. If you're interested in prison ministry, you want to know more about it, you need to just go back and Google, or you go to any search engine like Google or Bing and just enter Gitim Radio, G-I-T-M Radio. And when you do that, you can it'll pull up, I think, really the last month of broadcast that we've had. And so you can be able to find us on our Blog Talk Radio platform through just simply Googling Gitim Radio, G-I-T-M Radio. So last week she also talked about some programs that she's been a part of, or is the back-to-school ministry, giving out backpacks, human trafficking prayer breakfast, giving out turkeys with the Pastoral Fellowship for Christmas and Thanksgiving, and the snack pack program. So she talked about so many things last week that, you know, that will surely bless you. So if you have an opportunity, just Google Gitim Radio, G-I-T-M Radio, and you can go back and listen to the last two broadcasts that she did in its entirety. And also while you're there, Gitim Radio has over 1,000 podcasts that you can go and listen to. And we cover a myriad of subjects. Amen. If you you want to start a 501c3, we have that in it. Glory to God. You need some information about grieving. Hallelujah. We have information about that. Caregiving. We have that. Amen. We have people, knowledgeable Christians, who can tell you. If you want to know how to order your groceries, amen, via an app, you can listen to Gitim Radio. If you want to know from a Christian perspective about cryptocurrency that's big, everybody's talking about Bitcoin, you can go to Gitim Radio. Praise God. We talk about so many things, buying a house, so many different subjects. So go back and look us up and just feast on whatever you desire to listen to. Amen. Amen. So today We have our Pastor Shirley Bird with us today, and we are in our third week, and so we're very excited to have her back today. And what we're going to talk about today is what is going on. What is the Lord doing right now in her and in her ministry, and what has the Lord revealed to her about the future, what she's going to be doing in the future and the ministry. So we want to just once again introduce to some and present to all my friend, Pastor Shirley Bird. Welcome, Pastor Shirley.
Hello, Pastor Barbara. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Once again, excited. Hey, I'm excited for today, and I'm excited for next Thursday when you get to preach. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus. It's an honor and a privilege to be on here just to talk about how good God is and all the things he's done in my life. And you never realize until you God did it through me, little old me. So it's like, right. It's amazing.
Right. It's so good to talk about it, you know, to share it. And it just blesses us on the inside as it's blessing other people at the same time. So we certainly appreciate you being here with us tonight.
Amen, amen. I really enjoyed
amen.
It so far. Yes, Lord.
Amen. So tell me, let's tell us about what the Lord's doing right now. We know that we're still in the pandemic time right now. So you can tell us from both perspectives what he's doing in you individually right now, and then what he's doing in the ministry as well.
Okay. Well, you know, he shut things down for a while. And I didn't realize that I was hardly ever home. It's like I was in prisons or doing some type of ministry every weekend during the week. And I very seldom had time to just sit down to just study or to even pray because I was just so busy. And sometimes God will shut you down when you're too busy. So,
he shut a whole bunch of us down. The whole world.
Didn't he do it? We didn't have time to breathe. Well, I didn't. I didn't realize that I did not have time to really do much of anything but ministry. Not that I'm complaining because I loved it. But to be shut down and not being able to travel is different.
Yes. Because you're in five prisons.
Yes, yes. So every week I was in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Every week I was in a prison somewhere. And
right.
I had just gotten... Ma'am, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, taking a teen into a prison.
Yes, yes. So that's the Lord had me build teams because he's going to take me into more prisons. Yeah, I'm not going to reveal the names of them right now, but he has been for the last couple of years telling me about this one prison that he wants to go into. But it's on a different level because it's going into hospice. A long time ago, he told me he wanted me to go into hospice, go into the cancer wards and pray for people. And so I went to DePaul Hospital, and I had a doctor's appointment. And I sat in this office and realized I was in the wrong office. But as I sat there, I just began to pray. And then realized I was in what is called oncology, the cancer at the hospital. And so I was just sitting in there, and everybody come by. I would end up praying for them. And I finally went back up to the desk to see why the lady hadn't called me. And that's when I found out I was in the cancer ward. And she was like, oh, your appointment is down the hall. You're in the wrong office. And after that, God told me, he was like, I want you to pray for the people regarding cancer. And I never knew, to make a long story short, that there were cancer wards in prison. And most of the time, we don't think about that, that people are dying everywhere. Yes. Yes, so I went in for this weekend, and I seen these guys with T-shirts on that said hospice volunteers. I was like, hospice? So I stopped one of the guys, and this inmates that volunteer in hospice in the prisons. And I asked them, I said, well, how many ministries come in to go and minister in hospice? And he said, we have one ministry that comes in. And I just thought that was pitiful. And so I asked another prison, and they had one ministry that I was opening a door in the prison. So I talked to one of the chaplains at this certain prison, and he was like, yeah, you can come in. When you come in for your regular service, then I'll put you in so you can go over to hospice too, and you can pray with them or have service with them or whatever God, you know, God leads you to do. And I was like, wow. And I think I talked to you about being one of the people going in and helping pray for people.
Right.
And,
yes, you did.
And so it ended up at that one prison that they didn't have anybody in hospice at the time that I had got approved. So I was just going in doing the services in two of the chapels. But he said anytime that there was a person that needed anything and that were in hospice, that whenever I came in, I could just go over there before or after my service and pray with them. Sing songs, read the word, whatever, you know, the Lord put on my heart. And I just thought that that was just so awesome because that's when God would truly show up. That's when you God shows his power. When you go and minister to somebody on the brink that from diseases that a lot of people don't come back from, and to be able to minister to them, I just think that is real awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
And then when people are in hospice, when they're in that situation like that, they're reaching out for God in a way that they may never, ever reached out to God before. And he's reaching to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had a question, and I'm thinking about, well, I'm coming off of hospice for a minute, but if you have some more, go ahead and talk about that, and then I wanted to ask you a question about, I wanted to talk about something in the prison.
Okay.
But
go ahead.
You're going to say something else about hospice? Okay. You mentioned that there were a couple of chapels in a prison you ministered. You know, before I went to the prison ministry with you, with your ministry, I didn't know that they had chapels in prison. honest, I thought we'd just, like, go to a room. But this was the ones that I've been to, too. And this is, they're set aside. They look like little churches in there, practically.
Mm-hmm.
And the chapel that we went to in a women's ministry, I mean, in the women's prison, was really nice, like some of the state-of-the-art kind of stuff in there. Now, the men's prison was okay, but it wasn't. But tell us about the different chapels that they have in prisons, the prisons you've gone into.
Okay. Well, in the women prison, they have the sound system. It seats 135 people. And as you know, it's always full. And they have, like, the TV monitors where you can put the songs up and put the words on the screen and where everybody can just just sing along. You know, it's not where they're just standing there just watching you or sitting there just watching you. It's an all-inclusive. It's like it is a church service. And to me, it is church because we actually have service. In the men prison, and one of them, it's really beautiful. And that's the one at Fulton. I love that chapel, but it's not up to date yet. But it is a beautiful edifice. It really is. They had with the baptismal tub and everything. And it's a lot of churches that don't look as good as the chapel, so I'm telling you.
right.
And there's this one camp. It has two chapels because one side is the sexual offender side and the other side is the regular criminal side. So they can't commingle, so they're separated by fences. Mm. So they have to go to separate services to keep the safety of the prisoners. But some of them are humongous, where they have different rooms where you come out to chapel. Say you want to have someone counseling them in another room. You can do that, but there's a separate room where you can go in and you can take a inmate and just talk to them and counsel them, and they can be in private like they're talking to like the priest or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, you go in, they might be having a Bible study in one room or another church service downstairs. This one chapel have an upstairs and downstairs, and where another church service going on downstairs of a different type and another one's upstairs. And it's a big building where it's got many rooms, and they can do many services at the same time. So they can get the same thing that we get out here as far as going to church. Yes. And there's a certain way they have to dress. They can't wear shorts and T-shirts and to church. You got to be fully dressed in your khakis or whatever the uniform is for the camp.
Amen. Now, another thing I was kind of surprised about as well when we went to the prison were the inmates who helped in the chapel.
Oh, yes. Now, some have good behavior. Some of them have earned to be able to work. And it's a job that they get paid for, to work in the chapel or to work the sound system or be an assistant to the chaplain. So I guess after you've been there so long, you earn these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you know, some people don't have people to put money on their books, so they have to work. So.
Yeah.
Everyone that are. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Everyone that I've had the opportunity to work with in the chapel, they have been awesome. They have been sold out for God, and I've even let them speak. Like, God helped me pick out somebody and say, okay, next week you're going to give me a 15-minute word from the Lord. And so God will have me do that. And I'm telling you, they're on fire for the Lord. I know we hear about people that go in and get that jailhouse religion. Everybody is not getting jailhouse religion. They are truly being transformed and delivered by God, where a lot of them get out and they do ministries. So we can't judge by how one person came out. They were saved inside, and then they came out. And then they wasn't saved because they got with the wrong crowd. They just backslid. But they was in there long enough for God to get the word in them, to get them still long enough so he can tell them what he needed to tell them, which puts them on a track to God and to change their life. We didn't get like that overnight. So it takes a time. It takes different steps and procedures to get back in the right standing with God, if you ever been in the right standing. But if you haven't, it still puts you on a path to be transformed and to be delivered. So we should uplift people that come out and say, oh, God did this and that for me in prison. Because a lot of people I know came out of prison. And they have success with my bishop. He been to prison. I think he's had 3 times. But guess what? He's over the pastoral fellowship, over 140-some churches, and he has a big congregation. So I know God is a deliverer because he delivered me. So don't be slighting people that come out. We're supposed to lift them up, pull them up, and give them a hand up.
Amen.
Ooh, Jesus.
Getting a little excited.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes.
Amen.
Also, there's a chaplain over each chapel. So they have services in there also with the inmates. And they're just so awesome. And they look out for the inmates, and they make sure that if you're not coming in there with the right mind and the right heart to really help them, help the inmates, then they will put you out. They will not let you hurt them. And I love that because they're there to protect them, and they do protect them. They really care about them, and I love that.
Yeah, I think I've been around a couple of chaplains, and they've all been good. They've all been very humble, you know, but humble but stern.
Yeah.
Humble. Yeah.
And also, in this, did you have any more questions on that one?
No, no, go ahead.
Okay, and also during this shutdown, the Lord told me, he said, I'm shutting every knee down because, you know the scripture where it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. He told me that's what he's doing. That's what he was doing in the pandemic because it's time for every knee to bow. And he said,
Amen.
I'm shutting it down so everybody can get their stuff in order because when I really open it back up, people are going to flood in, and they're going to need Jesus, and they're going to need people that are going to be strong and studied up and prayed up to be able to handle the people that are going to come in. And I was, so he said, this is a rest because you're going to need a rest for what's coming.
Amen.
And he had me go on a prayer line. Now, mind you, I never considered myself a prayer warrior. I didn't think I prayed very well. I prayed, and I knew God heard my prayer, but as my parents, they was prayer warriors. I tell you, they would be praying when we went to bed, and I swear they were still praying when we got up in the morning. So, like, did they ever go to sleep, or did they just stay on their knees and pray, you know? And I said, so when I grew up, I was like, wow, I want to be able to pray like that. But I never could. And I just felt that those were prayer warriors because they interceded. I tell you, they prayed for everybody from the front to the back to Rudolph to the Tudor, anybody you could think of. They had their name in there, and it was just wow. And so I joined this prayer line, and God began to do some things in me. And I always been one to shy away from praying, you know, publicly because I didn't feel that I was that good a prayer. I'm just being totally honest. That's really how I felt. And so I begin to be called on to pray. And I would begin to pray, and it's like tears would just start to flow. And it's like from straight from my heart. And the Lord would send me in tongue and everything, and it's like I could feel the manifestation of the prayer.
Hallelujah.
And God, my prayer life is nothing like it was before the pandemic. And my first lady told me that God is giving me has elevated me to an intercessor, and that's what my parents was. And I never thought I would be that, but I'm telling you, I go on the prayer line every opportunity I get. In this pandemic, we got a prayer line 3 nights a week, Bible study. Me and my friends study different books. I never had the opportunity to sit down and read books, and I'm telling you, we have gotten into some books that God has opened some eyes and some doors and some, talking about a new heart. I was telling you about that book. Oh, my God. It taught how to have a new heart, stuff I never would have known if I hadn't read that book.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's different. It's just different. I'm not the person that went into the pandemic.
Hallelujah.
I'm much better. Yes, yes.
Ooh, amen. Amen. And I agree with you. There are things that have happened to me during the pandemic. My prayer life has changed, you know, during this time. And when it first started, the Lord just, he said, pray in tongues more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like, you know, he was saying to start the Praying in Tongues Tuesday that we still have. And we pray in tongues every Tuesday at 2 p.m. for 1 hour tongues, and then we have interpretation. Now, that that's been a life changer, you know, for me. You know, I've prayed in tongues, but, you know, to take that time out, and even when I'm just, you know, we have people come and pray in tongues for 15 minutes at a time. And so 4 people volunteer every week to pray in tongues for about 15 minutes. And then we have interpretations. And the people, and even me, you know, when we first started getting interpretations from the Lord, it was, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, whatever. And now it has changed. People are getting word for word interpretation. I think even the one word for word that myself and somebody else had, you know, we take our notes and then we just say what was on our notes. And one of the notes was the kingdom of God is at hand. Now somebody's praying in tongues and we both heard it clear.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
Yeah. The Lord is just, he's showing us. And one lady that I can think of, I mean, she was getting like maybe one word. And one word was dedicate, something like that. And a year later, she's getting more. And my sister, Pastor Catherine, she's just, I mean, God has just really opened up her ears and perked her ears up. And that's what he's doing to all of us who have listened, you know, during this time. It has been just awesome. And then even with my personal prayer time has changed, because the Lord has called me to just be with him, just spend time just in his presence. And that's several times during the day. And it makes me think about, like, Daniel, you know, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, when they were saying, they're praying. You told them don't pray unless you do your, you know, unless you make the sound. And we call them praying anyway, you know. So that's how Daniel got in trouble, because he was praying and the king hadn't told everybody. To bow down to him. And so, you know, I think about those things because, like you said, I mean, that really struck me. We went into the pandemic one way, but we coming out a whole different way than what we came in. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and
yes,
I want
Lord.
To say this thing here. You know, Minister Annette, Evangelist Annette, who's with the healing ministry, as the before the pandemic, before, I think it was late 2019, she said, the Lord keeps it about reset, reset, reset.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, everybody says, this is the great reset. And
yeah.
I laugh because in the 21st century, if anything is wrong with your computer, if anything's wrong with your phone, the first thing, if you call a tech line, they're going to tell you, oh, just turn it off for a few moments and turn it back on again. And that resets everything. And I call that the 21st century fix, is to turn it off and turn it back on. And that's what's going on right now.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. That's
Amen.
Exactly what's going on.
Right. The Lord said, turn it off, and we'll turn it back on.
When people didn't act right, he shut it back down again. Like, okay, y'all ain't getting it. I'm shutting it back down. Reset you again because you didn't get it the first time. Amen.
That's, you know, yeah. It's really something. I mean, there's a lot to this. What we're talking about is very simplistic, but, you know, God is doing something. You know, and there's so many people who have passed during this time. This is, it's really something where, you know, we're just really needing to lean on him and hold on to his unchanging hand when everything is changing all around and about us.
Amen.
Yeah, I got excited too.
Hey.
Right. also, he had gave me a while back to minister to abused women and girls. And I'm still waiting on him to give me directions on that.
Yeah.
As well as working with drug abuse ministry. So I don't have the go ahead from God to do that yet,
yes.
But that's in the working. And the thing is, I think it's to go into centers for abused women and girls. Not necessarily reinvent the wheel, but I have to see what he's saying about that, because there are so many women that waited this long, like me, to just tell my story when it could have helped a lot of people and stopped a lot of women from going through it, as well as men. Men go through it, too. They're abused, too. Little boys.
Yeah. True.
So, yeah. And also, I should be having the opportunity to be on a board. It's in the works of people coming out of prison to help with that transitioning. So that's something in the future that I might be thinking too.
Amen. So helping people who are coming out of prison.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, back into society.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not allowed to speak on it yet, but that's something in the future.
Amen. Well, you have enough to be on a board and to just be very helpful on a board, you know, helping people to come out of prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, even now, isn't there, you were talking about a ministry to help people with drug abuse. Isn't there a ministry now that you're involved in with about drug abuse? I can't remember what it's called.
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I might have been a part of it. I'm telling you, it was a lot of ministries that God stopped me from doing. So He told me I had to focus on Love Outreach Ministry.
Okay.
Because I have a habit of jumping in with both feet and just working. And
he
was like, let's see. He showed me a scripture. I can't tell you exactly where it's at. I'm not good at that, telling you exactly. I say I look it up. But I know what's in the word. And it says, you're doing work. You're doing it. Wait a minute. How did it go? It said, you're doing work, but whose name are you doing it in? So we can be working in a lot of different ministries and God not tell us to do it. And that work really is in vain because I was being disobedient by doing working in all these different ministries instead of in the ministry he gave me. That's what he was trying to tell me, in other words. Focus on what I told you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I had to learn that lesson. And if I didn't tell you to go do it, don't do it. So we have to confer with God before we step too soon and do stuff. Because sometimes God didn't design it and it won't work out right.
And hey, it sure won't.
No,
that's
it won't.
Right.
Yes. So anything that I do, I pray to God for an answer before I step.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I used to go to drug meetings myself. And I think we talked about that, where church was better for me than going to the meetings. And a lot of people need meetings to learn how not to use drugs. But I'm getting ready to get involved with another drug meeting program, because that's needed also when ministering with people. Because they need to. Some people really need to go to programs, and they might need church and a program, or they might just need, you know, might just need church. But somewhere in there, they got to get to learn some discipline in this drug thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know that it can happen to you again, the thing to me is listening to people's stories, and those are those not yet stories. And I was like, wow, not yet. You mean if I stay out here, this could happen to me? And yes, it could. They're not telling nobody business, but there are people that have got high in church. There are people that have lived in vacant buildings or lived under the overpass, and all to do with drugs. So it takes your mind. It really does. And you're not aware of the things that you're doing most of the time. But it may seem normal when you're on drugs. But when you get, when God deliver you, I'm telling you, we laughing and say, I did that. You can laugh because God brought you through it and you're still alive, even though you did some crazy stuff. But you're laughing at it because it's crazy. That in your right mind, you never would have did anything like that. And
never
we thank God that he brought us through, that we're still alive to be able to tell others about the stuff that if you continue to use, this is what can happen. You can lose everything. You can lose your family. You can lose your friends. You can lose your own life.
Yeah.
So I thank God he pulled me out before I got to learn those not yet. But I'm telling you, it scared me by going to the meetings and hearing those stories. So the meetings are necessary, but I needed God to deliver me. After I got scared from the meetings, I needed to go to church.
So you got scared and went to church.
Yes. I guess that's why I had that foundation, because God knew I was going to need it one day. And when you have that foundation, you know where your help comes from. You know where you need to run to. And I needed God.
Amen. And that's all of it. You know, when we get to the point where we know we need God and we can do anything without Him, we can do nothing. Amen. That's the revelation right there. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know where to run to, and that's to God. That's to Jesus, because he's the only one that can pull you out of that, anything that you're in.
Amen. Well, you know, even the prison ministry, there's been some challenges during the prison ministry. Have there been some challenges that the Lord has helped you to overcome with the prison ministry or any part of the love outreach ministry?
Well, as far as financing, yes. But
okay,
he always makes sure. You know what? I don't think it have been. I can truly say God has been good, because he have always made a way for me to get to where I need to go. He have always made sure that we had gas. And as you know, we all we do is pitch in on gas. That's it.
Right.
And when I go to the weekends, he have always made a way where I'm able to pay for my hotel room and my food and everything. So I don't think it's challenging,
mm-hmm.
because God makes it happen. Now,
amen.
I would prefer that it be better. I do have a 501c3, but I need a grant writer. So, other than that, God has just been making a way.
Amen. So you do know of some grants that are out there for prison ministry?
Ah, yes, yes. The library, we have different grants given but they want it to be unique. And with this hospice and traveling to prisons, I think that's real unique.
Because we travel with
me and so.
Amen. I was going to say we were there. We traveled an hour and a half there and an hour and a half back. So we 3-hour trip once a month going to the prison. And hey, and sometimes you get there. It was just a few times that the paperwork was the chaplain was going through something, and we had to turn around and leave because everything wasn't set up. So
okay, I remember that
often, but that was like close around just before the pandemic that happened, but it was okay because, we were praying and everything on the way there, and we prayed on the way back, and, God still got the glory.
Yes, we did. We had a good time. It's like, well, God must want us to just take a drive.
Right.
But,
amen.
Yeah, you just made me think about in this one prison, I was having a lot of trouble with paperwork getting approved. And so I would send in paperwork, and the person that was supposed to do it, I don't believe they did it, but they'll say, well, this person ain't approved to come in. And I know that this person is approved at another prison to come in. How can you find a record on someone that another prison can't find a record on? And this person said they never been to jail or they don't have a record. So I had a lot of trouble with this one prison, and I know it was the enemy. Every time it was, we would drive up there and they'll say, well, you supposed to have been here 30 minutes earlier. No, you told me 15 minutes earlier. And then I've even got there, say, an hour early, and they'll say, well, our services are canceled. Now, this was in the same prison. So I end up having a meeting off-site with some of the people to find out what was really going on, but we never found out. So all the inmates in that prison began to say that she fighting to get in and we fighting to get out, because it really was a fight. So that, so every time they see me, they say I'm a fighter fighting to get into prison, you know. And it's right. Awfully funny, you know, that when I was younger, I was talking about I want to go to prison, so I got to fight to get into prison. So they think right. That's so funny. Everybody just laughed. But I just say, and a lot of times I wanted to give up. I said, well, I'm just not going to come here. And this one inmate told me, he said, look around the chapel. And there was about 45 men in there. And he said, mm-hmm. None of these men would be in here if you wasn't here. And I was like, wow, this is not about me. It's about them. Mm-hmm. And that's what God had to open my eyes and say, no matter what you go through, it's about them.
Yeah,
it's about ministering to them and saving them, no matter how uncomfortable to you it is. So mm-hmm. I kept on going, even though they kept on giving me this trouble. That's why I fought to get in, because God, if God didn't want me to be there anymore, he would have took me out of there. So
yes.
I had to endure.
Amen.
So I don't know what's going on with that.
Amen. Well, you endured. You know, you kept mm-hmm. going. And that was a blessing. Hallelujah. Okay, so
yes,
you know
yes,
what?
Yes.
We're about to open up the line now so that people can, if they have any questions, any comments, any prayer requests, any prophecy requests. You can press your number one key. Some people have already started pressing their number one key. Praise the Lord. You can press your number one key, and we'll open the line for you. If you have any questions, comments, prayer requests, prophecy requests, glory to God. You know, you want to hear a word from the Lord. If he gives it to us, we'll give it to you. Praise God. Amen. Okay, first of all, you know who I'm going to put on the line first, Pastor Mom. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Pastor Shirley, Pastor Mom's been through some things over the past week or so. Actually, it's been like about 3 weeks now that she's really been going through something, you know, physically.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the hospital for a couple of days, and then she got out, and I know she's praying, you know, for her strength to come back, and, you know, she could just be strengthened and do some things that she used to be able to do easily. So I'm going to open the line to Pastor Mom now.
Amen.
Welcome, Pastor Mom.
Hello. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
We got good.
Can you hear me?
Oh,
yes,
ma'am. Good.
Okay. I don't feel so good tonight, but things are going on pretty good there.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have Pastor pray for you. Is there anything in particular that's going on?
Yeah, just pray for me. My face kind of hurts.
Did she say her legs?
Yeah. Your legs or your hips, Pastor Mom?
Both.
Yes,
I think both. It's both, because God had brought her before my face earlier today, and I prayed for her legs and her hip. And he showed me that. Yes. So I was like, God, what? I was just asking him. I was like, he was telling me her legs and her hips has been hurting earlier today. And I prayed for her earlier, but I'm going to go ahead and pray again. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, you know what's in need of, Father God. Cover Pastor Mom, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Take the ailing and the hurting and the pain out of her hips, Father God, out of her lower back, out of her legs, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Allow her to be able to move freely, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Touch right now in a mighty way. No more suffering, no more pain, Father God. Let her get up and just walk freely, Father God, without hindrance, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. I'm asking that sickness that she's feeling, Father God, I'm asking you to heal her right now in the name of Jesus. That weakness in her body, strengthen her, Father God. In your glorious and precious name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Jesus, get up out of that TV.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Pastor Shirley.
Ooh, that about it. Yes. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Ah, you're welcome. You're so welcome.
Amen. Pastor Catherine, did you want to say anything?
Yes, I'm sorry. She was kind of almost out of breath, too, but I was putting her back in bed, too. That's why another reason she's not talking too well. But anyway, yes, you just keep us all mesmerized. Pastor
wow.
Shirley, I just love your ministry. God bless you, and even if you got any kind of ministry, you're just so encouraging, and I really wish I could have a call for prison, but I'm sorry, I just don't have it. But I love you, and I thank God for you, and I you brought up something tonight. About the hospice, it never dawned on me about that, and people having been ill in prison, and that's so godly, what God has brought on your heart, and being able to tell us about it. I mean, you just opened up my eyes tonight, and I just want to tell you thank you so much, and when you had something else to say, I was trying to write them down, but I could forget. But anyway, when you talk, I wanted to say that I never knew, I'm thinking when you all go to the prison that you all are in just a plain room. You all are in a chapel, when you go each time?
Yes, ma'am.
I never knew that. I knew. They have a chapel in the prison. Well,
it's a pulpit, it's chairs, it's piano, all that. Same thing in the church.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I never knew that. Well, anyway, the other thing I want to say, you encouraged me tonight about, putting people back on track. Because we've had relatives to go into prison. And boy, they look like they're on fire for God. And when they get out, boy, but I'll tell you one thing. One thing I can say about the ones that looked like they were on fire when they were in there, but even right now, they have a respect for God, and when they get in trouble, they know who to go to. And just like you said, God is not finished with them yet. And so it is a way for them to kind of be put on the right pathway. So I just want to say thank you for everything that you said, even tonight and all this month. So God bless you. And thank you, Pastor. Thank you also,
I love
Apostle.
You.
Yeah, love you too. Thank you, Apostle. This was a great person to have on this month. So God bless.
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Catherine. Hallelujah. All right. Love you all. Have a blessed night. I'm like, have a blessed night. I'll see you in a few minutes. Praise God. Anyone else? If you'd like to make a comment, you have a question, you have a prayer request, press your number one key. Pray to God. Don't be shy. You know, you can say something, even if you weren't here for the whole thing and you just want to make a comment, that's fine too. Praise God. Praise God. We see you, Pastor Price. If anyone else has your number one key pressed, I don't see you. You know, sometimes our number one key is finicky. So if you have it pressed, I don't see you. So text me and let me know. Okay, I see you, Sister Joanne, that you just press your number one key. Amen. We're gonna open the line for Pastor Price. And then, Sister Joanne, you are next. Welcome, Pastor Price.
Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm just so glad to be in your midst tonight. Glory to God. I wasn't able to be it last Thursday, but I was this time, and it's such a blessing. Pastor Shirley, I just really enjoy your ministry, the ministry that God has placed upon your life. I really believe that because of your genuineness, the anointing of genuineness, which is on your life, that I believe that you really answered a lot of questions for a lot of people as they listen to you tonight. And I thank God for that. Because when a person is doing what you're doing, and they're going, like you said, you would be 12 hours a day and 3 days a week and going to many prisons, and somebody would say, oh, Lord, what am I doing? Am I doing what God has told me to do, or am I doing the purpose and plan of what God has told me to do? And I can remember even the Lord saying to me, he said, Helen, I make my purpose and plan very clear to what I want you to do and how I want you to do it. And I thank God so much for you in making that point tonight, because my sister, Apostle, and I, we had even talked earlier today that there are times that we will go into somebody else's, into something that God, that's right for somebody else to do. It may be right for them to do, but it can be wrong for us. And I've gone in there, and I have a good friend of mine. We've been friends for over 40 years. And she began many years ago, several years ago, she began to go to a retreat. And in going to the retreat, I wanted to go too. I want to go to that retreat too. And so I was living in California at the time. And I went to the retreat. And when I went to the retreat, I found out I was in the wrong place for me, but the right place for my friend. And the Lord began to minister to me. I went through something that I had not been through, and it was rough that I went through. And I didn't even know. But then later on, the Lord began to minister to me. He said, now what I call your friend to do is what I call her to do. And what I call you to do is what I call you to do. And so don't you try to get on somebody else's territory. And sometimes I have to tell people, no. God has not called me to do that. God has not called me to do that. I would love to do it, but God has not called me to do that. Now, where you are, I have a special love, though, for the prison ministry. I really, really love the prison ministry. I have a little running joke that's probably the only joke, corny little joke I always would say when I would go in, and I would always say that I've got a captive audience. No, it's supposed to be my little funny. But they would always laugh when I said it. But I would laugh, you know, with it. I've got a captive audience. And so I remember, and I ministered in the prisons in New York. We had, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but whenever he was a chauffeur and driver of limousines, but he also was a man of God, and his name, last name was Byrd, B-Y-R-D. The last name of some about those birds now. And so last name was Byrd, and we just, I mean, he just loved the prison ministry. He would take me out in New York to the ministry in New York. But then in East St. Louis, out in St. Clair County, I had the blessed privilege when I would come. I was living in Los Angeles. I was born in that East St. Louis area, but I moved in 1975 out to Los Angeles. And so when I did, I would come back over through the years and was invited to speak at the St. Clair. When we started a church back there, East St. Louis Christian Center Church. And I would come back and was invited to minister at the St. Clair County Jail. And one of there was just such a preciousness about it. I don't know if I already said that on the other time, but one of the times when I went to the St. Clair County Jail, they used to have the women would be laying in holding cells on the floor. And we would have to walk through where the holding cells were and then go on into the place where they had the services. And the only ones who could go to the services were the people that were doing good. It was like if you did something you wasn't supposed to do it, they wouldn't let you go in there. And that was living in New York also. As I was walking through there, somebody said, Helen. And there she was laying on the floor and in jail. And she was a sister of one of my aunts. And now she's also gone to be with the Lord. But she came out and it was just such a blessing. You don't know who you see when you get in there. One more time when I went to the St. Clair County Jail, I went there to minister. And one of my cousins a long time ago, many, many years ago, had been raped. And the man that raped her was in jail. They had put him in jail. I did not know when I went to go minister, he was sitting on the front row. On the front row and the first thing he wanted to do was get up and hug me. I knew I had Jesus in my life. Now, later on, the Lord stopped me from hugging people because when I would go in, I would get all kind of spirits. I would feel them when I got out of there. And the Lord said, you can be nice, but you don't have to do all that hugging, Helen, whether it be male or female, but I would mention to the men and to the women. But that one, when that man that went on, and he really, his life after he got out of prison was transformed. I don't think many people even knew about what had gone on. And I was, my cousin, the cousin, I won't say her name, but the cousin that he had raped in, and when this happened, we were out at, we had in 2017, we had about four deaths in our family right at one time. And we were out at the grave site. And her and I were talking, and she was telling me about some of the things she's gone through in her life. And I said, well, you know, I went into prison and ministered. And I said, he was right there. And I had to release our love and forgiveness as an act of my will in obedience to the word of God so I could go on and minister and hug him. And she said, do you know, I never knew that you had done that. I never knew that you saw him. I never knew because he had such a good report when he died. He didn't even look the same way as the years went by. God did a really great work in that man's life. Because there was before when I would see him, I could see like demonic things on him. But God did a tremendous work. So the prison ministry is just one of my special ministries that I love when the Lord opens the door for me to be able to do that. So I really thank God for you. I thank God for the ministry that he has on your life. And I too, like you, am called as an intercessor. That was the very first thing that the Lord called me to. I say this because I'm getting ready to say when you talk about the intercession. I remember my friend, that same friend that I've been friends with over 40-something years, one of my friends. When I met her, I hadn't seen her for about 3 months. And she told me, she said, I've been praying for you, Helen, every day. I looked at her. I said, she's been praying for me every day. I said, I ain't been praying for her. this has been over 40 years ago, and I started interceding. Well, my intercession, the reason I brought that up was that my intercession, because I know there are other people that are going to talk to you, my intercession has been changing over the last, even especially during this pandemic. It has been changing. The intercession has been changing. And one of the things the Lord has me do is that if I go, even if I'm at a Walmart and sitting at a Walmart, he'll say, begin to pray for the owners of the Walmart. Pray for every person, past, present, and future customers that will come in. Pray for every single employee that's coming in this place. Just like when you were sitting there in that office and it was the wrong, but it was the right office for God to have you intercede and to be able to bring you into that next phase of ministry. But he had you there to intercede and begin to intercede. And I found out, the Lord was letting me know, he said, you're not going to understand when you get to heaven all the lives that are being affected by the prayers that when I send you, if I go outside of a, even if I go to a, you know, a fast food place or somewhere, or even a shopping center, God will begin to have me to pray for every one of the people in the shopping center, past, present, future people who come in. Also for the owners of each one of those businesses and for every one of the employees, the security, everybody in there. And there was a man, I don't know if you know his name, but he's gone on to be with the Lord too. His name is Kenneth Hagin. But Kenneth Hagin had a relative that it was he didn't want to come in to know the Lord, the relative didn't. And the Lord said, this is what you do. He said, bind the work of the devil from over his life. Claim their deliverance. The deliverance over that person, and then I begin to pray. Well, what God has me do now is, he said, now what I want you to do for every person, every single, all the people in complexes and cities, because we God is not a little God. He'll have you praying all over the country, all over the world for different people, not limiting him. And he'll tell me, he said, I bind every work of the devil and his cohorts concerning every man, woman, boy, and girl, even those that are listening tonight, that will listen in the future, many years ahead of this. I bind, rebuke, forbid, arrest, and resist every work of the devil from over their lives. I claim their deliverance and their full salvation. I pray that God would open the eyes of their understanding and give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him and of his word, his purpose and plan and destiny for their lives. And then he has me to pray that even that the Lord, that he would thrust forth and send forth and force out, specially prepared anointed laborers into each one of their pathway, ones that they will be able to listen to, because everybody's not going to listen to everybody. And then he has me pray that he would give them Damascus Road experiences. Give them Damascus Road experiences. Shine the light of his glory and of his truth into their hearts and minds. And the Lord said, that may not seem like that's a whole lot what I have you to do. It's just a simple prayer. But he said, it may not seem like it's a lot I have you to do. He said, but you don't know whose lives you are affecting, that you are affecting. And one little thing, when one of my cousins came into my pathway recently when I was in St. Louis and came to see Mama, and when I was there, she's been going through mental. She had started with looking at tarot cards, and she had gotten with those spirits that attached into her so bad. And so the Lord said, I allowed her to come by for you to pray for her. So I prayed that prayer over her, and I'm expecting results, because there are people who've gotten into what they call the Hebrew Israelites. And that's the thing that, I don't know if you have y'all come in contact with them, and they've come in contact, and the Lord said, this kind, some of these kind come out by fasting, and they come out by prayer. And so I'm so glad that you had a praying mama and daddy. You had a praying mama and daddy that whose prayers are going on into perpetual generations and affecting you, and they're looking down from the annals of heaven, looking at their child, Pastor Shirley. And I thank God for what he's doing, and then that you're just so genuine. Just so genuine. And I thank God for you. So I wanted to just say I'm so excited. I mean, I know my sister, Pastor Catherine, is excited. Pastor Apostle was excited because she had you on. But I'm also excited. I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and that you're genuine. And like you said, if we're doing something, if we're out there, I say this, and I will stop, Apostle. I'm going to stop right now with this one. If we're going out there to do, he said, if we don't even have love, is all that stuff we could be doing. Because I watch people that have gone out, and they're doing certain things, but there's no love with it. There's no love. There's no love in the heart. And he said, we would just be sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So I thank God for you. Thank God for your genuineness. Thank God for the work that God is doing in your life. And I praise God for you. And then I'm going to do like a pastor, apostle has. I'm going to ask you to pray for me, too, and as you come tonight. Glory to God. God bless you.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you on behalf of Pastor Price, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for allowing her to encourage me, Father God. In the name of Jesus, get about that. I seen it. Hey, glory to God. Father God, we just thank you for allowing her to be a help to those in need, to be a soldier in your vineyard, Father God. In the name of Jesus, continue to strengthen her and lift her up to be able to continue to go out and praise your people, Father God.
to help those ones in need, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because you know what they're in need of, Father God. And you say many are called, but few are chosen. Thank you, Father God, for choosing Pastor Price to be one of those that go out in the victory. Jesus, we glorify, we magnify you in the name of Jesus, and touch our body in a mighty way in the name of Jesus, Father God. That swelling that she has, Father God, let it go down, Father God, in the name of Jesus. You said she's going to be okay. She's going to be all right in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Shirley. And God bless you, Apostle, and each one on the line tonight. God bless you. I'll go back on mute, Apostle.
Amen. Thank you, Christ. Always good to hear from you. Man. All right. Anyone else? We're going to open a line for Sister Joanne in just a moment here. Anyone else? If you'd like to say anything. Praise God. Press your number one key. God bless Sister Joanne. I think she got knocked off the line again. The blood of Jesus. Okay. I'll come back to, oh, there she is. Amen. Sister Joanne?
Yes. You hear me?
Welcome.
Prophet Kizzy. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May, Happen, you was talking about reset. Good afternoon, Pastor Shirley. I thank God for your ministry. You encourage me. Amen. So my phone, when you was talking about reset, my phone happened to say reset. I said, that's strange. I said, that is, you know how you think things. I said, God, is that you? And he said, they said reset in seven. You have reset your phone in 7 days. And I said, oh, my God, they were just talking about pressing the reset button. And I said, oh, but anyway, getting back, when I get off, I'm going to reset my phone. Anyway, but I thank God for what you're doing in the vineyard for God. May God continue to bless you. May God continue to lead you and guide you and order your steps in this season. Your steps is ordered by the Lord. And I speak a blessing over you that whatever God has for you, your name is already on it. I don't know, is it a finance or situation, but I hear God say, money is coming. I'm pushing the emergency button for you. I'm pushing the emergency button for you, Pastor Shirley.
Amen.
Whatever you need, God got it. God got it for you to do the ministry that he called you to do. I love you.
Thank you,
Prophet Kizzy. Y'all have a blessed night, and I'll be talking to you again. I enjoyed this for the last couple of weeks. I enjoyed this ministry. Because I look back over my life when I first got saved, and I was in the Baptist church, and somebody took me to prison. At first, I was frightened because I never, you know, been to the prison, you know? So after a while, when I kept going, I was not afraid. God took that fear out of me. But that's one thing I desired to do when I came to Christian Fellowship Center, and somebody was in there, was supposed to give me a ride, but it didn't happen the way God wanted to happen. I don't know what happened, but that person left, and I never got to go to the Patterson ministry.
So
I thank God for what God is doing in your life.
Amen.
Mr. Kizzy, Pastor Kizzy, I love you.
Love you,
too. Y'all have a
blessed
night. Okay?
Okay. You too, Sister Joanne.
You
Amen.
Too.
God bless you. Always good to hear from you.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Pastor Shirley, I always talk about Sister Joanne. She's a walking miracle of the Lord. She was in hospice. She was in a whole hospice building for people that were diagnosed HIV positive. She had full-blown AIDS with tuberculosis. and
Amen.
God healed. Amen. I went to visit in the hospice, and I was there the day that they released her from the hospice, and that's been about 15, probably more years than that. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So we praise God for the walking miracle of the Lord. Amen.
So that's what that message, God had gave me a message for her that it wasn't meant for her to go at that time. It was not her season to go in, so she might want to check because it's time for her to go in with someone else. She wasn't supposed to go with those people. I don't know who they were in her season. So you have a testimony to tell.
Yeah.
To deliver a lot of people. So you might want to venture into finding out about how to go. I don't know where you are, but finding out how to go in, or it may not even be in the prison, but your testimony is going to help deliver a lot of people. So your season is right now. For whatever God has been telling, he already done told you, for what he already told you to do, and for the ministry he already gave you, it's time. Because if this pandemic shut down, so he can pour into you everything he needed to pour in you for you to come out strong in the ministry that he told you to do.
Amen.
And also, I'd like to say on a lot of people say that prison ministry is not for them because they watch TV. And they see these prisons on TV where these steel doors are shutting behind them. Prison is not like that.
Right.
It is nowhere near like most of the time you are outside. You're walking from one apartment building to another. I'm telling you, they houses are beautiful. Steel doors, there's no long hallways. And a lot of people let those movies hinder them from ministering to people. Those are the same people that you can meet every day on the street. Those are the same people that could very well be you. So we're supposed to minister to everybody. And I'm telling you, judging by ministering in the prison, you will never judge anyone ever again.
Amen.
Because if they can worship God being stuck behind some bars and only can go to church when they are allowed to, or are told that you can't go to church today, we have so much freedom out here. But when your freedom is lost, you understand that everybody is God's people.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, that when I first went into the prison that we went to, I was, like, really kind of shocked that it wasn't the big steel gates that locked behind you and you hear it, boom, you know, like that. I mean, there's through, and there are, you know, doors that lock so that they, you know, people can't get out. But then we stepped into this big courtyard outside, you know, with the lawn out there and sidewalks and stuff. And we walked by ourselves on a sidewalk for like about maybe 30 feet, something like that. And then we walked a little, turned a corner, walked another 15 feet to the door to the chapel. And we're outside and we could see, you know, we could see, I know there were times where there would be an inmate who was sitting outside playing the guitar. You know, or they're over there working out or something. But a lot of times we would go be like around lunchtime, and so some of them were having lunch. You know, we couldn't see it. We could smell that we were close by the place where they ate at. But, you know, it was never a time that I was there that I ever felt afraid at all. Plus, also, they gave us these I don't know what they called them, but we have these body alarms
body alarm on. And so the body alarm was such that if anything did happen, if the body alarm was disengaged from us in some way, it would go off, and they would know that something was going on. And So we did have body alarms on, and you, Pastor, you're like, I want a walkie-talkie. Excuse me, I want a walkie-talkie. And they're like, okay.
And it's just, they are so respectful, and it's like, I don't need no alarm. They're not going to do nothing to me. I mean, I'm telling you, they treat you better than people on the street. They're so respectful and so cordial, and it says you just don't have any fear, you know. And sometimes you can just look at them and say, oh, that's just a baby that made a mistake, you know. Now, I'm not saying everybody like that, but
right.
It's not intimidating. not intimidating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a blessing to go in, but we still were very well aware that, yes, we were in a prison, and, you know, we still had to take the necessary precautions, you know, that we needed to take. So, amen. Such a blessing. Anyone else, if you wanted to say anything, I see my goddaughter Rachel sent me this long, wonderful text, just kind of praying for me in this text. Thank you so much, Minister Rachel. Certainly appreciate you, girl. Love you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if there's no one else who wanted to say anything, let me just tell you, first of all, what's going on Get 'Em Radio, and I'll let you know about that, and then we'll have Pastor Shirley to come back and give us closing remarks and closing prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, what's going on Get 'Em Radio is, today is Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio. Next Thursday, we're going to have Pastor Shirley to come back, and y'all going to get to hear her preach like I've heard her preach before. Glory to God. Amen. She is a preacher. Hallelujah. And I've heard her preach in the prisons and preach in church, and, you know, it's a blessing. So, praise God, you know, so come and bring somebody else with you on next Thursday night, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Then this Sunday, we have the East St. Louis Christian Center Church, the same phone number, 516-418-5699, and we meet every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. And this Sunday, yours truly, Apostle Barbara Kizzee, is speaking. Glory to God. And the Lord has given me a word, and I've been living this word out as he's given it to me. And I get just very excited. And this word is exciting me more and more, because he's just he's given me these revelations that's just like dripping like honey in my soul when he talks about them. Praise God. So the title of the message, and this is a two-part message. We did part one last Sunday, and part two is going to be this Sunday. And the message is entitled Script, like, help me, Pastor Price, right? Amen, I know it. Script, strategy, and strength. Praise God. Script, strategy, and strength. And I'm saying it slow because my tongue is so tired saying it. Script, strategy, strength. All about his script, his strategy, and his strength. Glory to God. So he's coming from a direction that maybe, I don't know if you guys would come from that direction, but it's just blessing me, everything that the Lord is talking about. And like I said, I'm even living it out, and I'm loving it. So
So join us this Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, same phone number. On Monday, we have our Bible teaching with Dr. Lorraine Navarro. We call it Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. And God has just given her such an anointing to dig into the Word of God. Hallelujah. And just find those golden nuggets. It's like gold mining. Hallelujah. And so join us when you have an opportunity. You're having your lunch at 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Just dial in and just listen. Now, that broadcast is a purely listening broadcast, so we don't open up any lines or anything, and you can still learn a lot from the woman of God. Hallelujah. And then she even helps us to be able to learn how to dig into the Word of God for ourselves as well. Amen. So that's Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, Bible teaching, Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Then on Tuesdays, we have our Praying in Tongues Tuesday. And as I was saying earlier, this is a life-changing time to be able to pray in tongues. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read something and go right back to that. But Pastor Shirley, you had talked about how during this time, since this reset, during the pandemic, that you've been able to read more. Well, the Lord has me reading a book called John G. Lake. And so I was reading through this book. It's been almost more like a daily devotional to me than just reading through a big book, because I take my time and go through it. And what I was just reading the other day, it talked about somebody who prayed for 5 hours a day for 3.5 years. Then he prayed another 7 hours a day for 1.5 years. When he did that, heaven's fire fell over the world, And the most extensive revival of real religion in this century, and he's talking about the 20th century, resulted. Hallelujah. And that was the Azusa Street Revival. And the man who prayed was William Seymour. And we're talking about intercession and how God is elevating our prayer life during this time and augmenting it. He's doing something right now. Amen. And so what we do on Praying in Tongues Tuesday, we don't know all that he's doing, but we know he's doing something. And whatever he's doing, we don't want him to do it without us. Glory to God. So just the obedience of doing it. You know, maybe 100 years from now, somebody said, well, there was these people who prayed in tongues on Tuesday at 2 p.m., and then everybody started interceding and had prayer lines all over the phones and over Zoom and all of that. And then suddenly the revival fell on the whole world. Praise God. I just want to be a part of it. Amen. And I believe we are. So anyway, on Tuesdays, this next Tuesday coming up is Tuesday, May the 25th, and I just got to say it's Pastor Price's birthday. Hallelujah. And so we're going to have Praying in Tongues Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. You can volunteer. There's no big eyes or little U's. You can volunteer to pray in tongues for 15 minutes. Praise God. You'll never be the same. Glory to God. So join us. Even if you don't pray in tongues, come and listen. There are people who were praying in tongues, so they initially got filled with the Holy Spirit and started praying in tongues and haven't prayed in tongues for years. And then when they called in and began to listen, their tongues returned in a great way. Glory to God. So join us. Tuesdays, every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. We pray in tongues for an hour, and then we have interpretation. Hallelujah. And the interpretation is no less than awesome. Amen. So, and then on Wednesday, our next Wednesday service is going to be June the 9th. So mark your calendar, set your cell phone alarm for prophetic healing. And we have the Harkies on with us. That would be Elder Philip Harkey and his wife, Minister Linda Harkey. And God moves by his spirit, and what God reveals, he heals. Hallelujah. So prophetically, the Lord tells us what ailments are going to be healed before the broadcast, and then people call in, and they are healed. Hallelujah. So join us for prophetic healing on June the 9th, and that would be 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, the same phone number. God, hallelujah. And then just to let you guys know, my birthday is after that. We don't have a service on my birthday, but my birthday is May the 28th. Hallelujah. And I'll be years old. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I think that's all of the announcements I want to give. But before we let Pastor Shirley pray us out, I want to give anyone an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. If you've listened this long, we praise God for you. And if you're not sure that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he may be your mother's Lord and Savior, your father's Lord and Savior, but you don't quite know if he's yours. Well, he would need to be yours, okay? And he wants to be your Lord and Savior. So the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus came to die on the cross so that you would have everlasting life, so that I would have everlasting life. And if you were the only person on earth, he would have come and died for you so that you would have everlasting life. Now, Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So confessing with your mouth is saying a prayer. Believing in your heart is making a choice, choosing by an act of your will to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that Jesus is who the Bible says that he is, and receiving him as your Lord and your Savior. So repeat this prayer after me. Now, you only have to pray it one time to be saved. But what we always do at the East St. Louis Christian Center Church is we're a training church. Hallelujah. We're a preparing church, and so is Get 'Em Radio. We want you to be prepared for when it comes time where there's going to be so many people who need to be born again, who need to be saved. And there was a time when we used to say, come to me, come with me on Sunday to church, and you can get saved right there at church. Well, it's not all that many churches open right now at this time. Some are more opening, and then we don't even know. Sometimes people don't even make it to Sunday. So many people are dying, young and old, all over the place. So every time we get an opportunity, whether we're at the grocery store, whether we're waiting in line for something or whatever we're doing, and if somebody needs to be saved, they can be saved right then and there. Hallelujah. And you can lead them to Jesus. Amen. So pray this prayer with me and pray it so that you can be ready for when somebody comes to you and says, people talk about being saved. I don't even know what to do. what must I do to be saved? And you can pray this prayer with them. Praise God. So repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your ways and help me to follow you. And now I know, according to the Bible, that I'm saved, I'm born again, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, we commit and commend you, hallelujah, to the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, fill them right now to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with power, power to walk right, power to live right, power to be right, hallelujah, power to know you, hallelujah, and all their heart to know you in their mind, their will, their emotions. Every part of them to know you, Lord God. Give them that power right now, power to lay hands on the sick and they recover. Hallelujah. Power to even be able to speak in their heavenly language. Fill them to overflowing even right now in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. And we thank you for doing that. Hey, we thank you for doing that right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And right now, we invite you to be a part of the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. We are a Bible-believing church. Hallelujah. There's no form, there's no fashion or show, just Jesus. Amen. And if you're looking for just Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. If you're looking to meet Jesus, if you're looking to know him more, amen. Join us on Sunday, hallelujah, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, the same phone number, 516-418-5699. God bless you. God bless you. Amen, amen, hallelujah. So, Pastor Shirley, we're going to open the line for you again, and you can give us your closing remarks and close prayer.
And amen, amen.
Thank you again so much for being with us. We have totally enjoyed you, and we're looking forward, as I said, to you preaching on next Thursday night. Amen.
Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. I think you already preached tonight. That was good word. I think I had to do the deliver save prayer again myself, too. Sometimes we have to repeat it so we can be reminded of who we serve. So that was really, really good. And that's all I have for today.
Okay, you know what I forgot? I'm sorry. We didn't give your Cash App because we want to make sure that people have an opportunity to bless the woman of God. Amen. Now, she has a Cash App. Her Cash App is $SBird17. $S is in Shirley. Bird, B-Y-R-D, 17, 1-7, amen? So S-B-Y-R-D, 1-7. Glory to God. So you want to bless the woman of God, that's how you can do it. If you'd like to call her, she told us last time that you can call her at area code 314-596-7633. Amen. 314-596-7633.
She does have a Facebook page, and her Facebook page is Love Outreach Ministry. And the ministry is RY Ministry at, Love Outreach Ministry. And her email or Gmail is loveoutreachministry@gmail.com. Praise God. I think I covered everything, Pastor Bird.
Amen.
I think. Amen. Amen. So make sure you bless the woman of God real good. Praise God. Okay, Pastor Shirley. Go ahead.
Amen. I just want to thank you for allowing me to be on here and to be able to spread the word of God. It just amazes me how we get through these 2 hours, because I told Apostle I don't have much to talk about. I didn't realize that I did that much. But when God is doing it, I'm not doing it. It's him. So I thank God for allowing me to be a soldier in his vineyard. And that's all I have for today. God has given me a topic for next week, and I'm excited about it. And so I'm really excited about it, because it wraps up everything that he has had me talk about. And so with that, I will pray us out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for bringing us through another Thursday, Father God, for allowing your word to go forth through us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and to encourage everyone, Father God, to lift up your name no matter where they go, no matter who it is, in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we go forth through these weeks, just to come back again on next Thursday, Father God, to hear the word from you, Father God, I ask that you cover us under your blood, cover us under your peace, cover us under your protection. Protection, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we glorify, we magnify you, because you are good and you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Love you all. Have a blessed rest of the night.
Y'all tell the people them, don't. No?